College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As receiver, yeah. I mean, separation that he can create with his feet. I think that off the line, just the way that he's really taken ownership of it and he cares about his craft. He's just an easy guy to throw to, body language, eyes, and I feel like his catch radius is some of the best I've been around.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about a fellow Josh, Joshua Palmer. We didn't talk about him a lot, and I think partially it was because they didn't really do much in the draft. They gave this guy some pretty good money for some less than ideal stats. But, Derek, you bring it up. He was in a Greg Roman offense last year.
Correct.
And 2 years prior, he was garnering a lot of targets. He seemingly was really building with Herbert. Picks up a bit of an injury in his third year, if I remember correctly. And then last year, it's Roman. And kind of at that point, they're moving on. It's a new coaching staff. They have a very different identity with Harbaugh and with Roman. And here we are. If he has those abilities, I think that is exactly the receiver that Allen loves to throw the ball to. That is exactly who Allen loves to throw the ball to. Get open, get to a spot quickly, boom.
Yes, and furthermore into that is the fact that I don't know what – how much usage, because like the Brady hat, everybody eats. Like, how much is it going to be? Like, what's the statistical output that we're looking at here for Palmer?
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know, and I'm not necessarily worried about it. Because the Bills do have a bevy of options. Moore is going to take targets. He's too good not to.
Agreed.
If Kincaid and Allen figure out the chemistry that is wonky between the two of them,
mm-hmm.
He should take some attention. James Cook will take some of these plays. Khalil Shakir is already established.
Yeah, 100 targets last year, yep.
Keon Coleman should have himself a better year. I do believe that. So what does it actually look like numbers-wise? And the answer to that is I have no idea. And that's not a bad thing.
No, because I mean, it goes to what Brady was saying this morning when he spoke with me, Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. You know, you want to change things up. You don't want to stay stagnant because you want to stay at a high level. You know, the Bills don't even throw 500 passes last year. At least Josh Allen does not. But do all of a sudden, you know, the better personnel lead them to go, yeah, we'll throw the ball 540 times in a season. Then all of a sudden, yeah, the targets change drastically with who gets what and who leads the team in targets, the whole thing. I absolutely believe that was part of the issue last year. I mean, for two games, they kind of couldn't throw the ball.
If you get Palmer's career best, numbers here. 72 catches, 769 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Who's complaining? Consider last year, that would very cleanly be second on the team. By a lot.
And it would lead the team in targets.
That leads the team in catches.
Yep.
Nope.
Only in targets.
4 off. Shakir had 76.
Mm-hmm.
But it did come, for example, on 107 targets. So that would have led the team in targets.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very easily second on the team in receiving yards.
Yeah.
And I would expect that Coleman's touchdowns get the bump. You know, red zone type player, a little tougher to play against. Doesn't matter if he's covered. Try to attack the ball with your hands. Secure it. But it could very well also be Palmer.
Absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. Steve is up first this morning. Steve, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, doing pretty good. This question is kind of coming off of what we were talking about with Trey White before, and, you know, that some of these guys that, you know, we've had around for a while, you know, are going to end up on the cutting room floor when we do that final 53-man roster. And I wasn't sure if this is the year that they kind of move away from that fullback position with Reggie Gilliam to kind of give one of these younger guys a chance to make it on special teams. And I would say also even at that fullback position, you know, I don't think there's any pop from Reggie Gilliam at that spot. When I think of a fullback, I think of more of like Ricard for Baltimore, you know, especially in our run game. I think we can do better at that spot, too, if we're looking to have someone specific to that spot.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. You know who might actually take the Reggie Gilliam role if they really wanted to use a traditional fullback? And Gilliam is kind of more of like a third-string tight end also for them. Like, he kind of does a lot. It's actually, I think, Jackson Hawes.
Yeah.
Because they're going to want that big bruiser blocker kind of type. I think that's maybe who they go to. I agree, though. Gilliam's been on the roster for a while, and you do kind of sit there often. Like, what do you do?
But also,
he kind of does a lot of the dirty work for him.
Yeah, that's the thing about fullbacks. We don't talk about them if they're not being noticed. And when are you being noticed as a fullback? The same way you'd be noticed as an offensive lineman. You're missing a block.
Yeah, you did something poor.
And you don't hear much of anything from Reggie Gilliam. He is the quiet workhorse that throws his body in the way to help get you some extra yards. If you want to look at trying to create roster space, I don't know if fullback right now is the way you do it. Not with Brady's propensity to want to run the football more and create more balance. I would go ahead and listen, though, to you get one of these reliable roster players to being your kick or punt returner.
Mm-hmm.
And can Codrington do something as a corner to preserve his spot on this team? And considering the size of the room and everything with the talent around it, I don't know. Codrington as a returner has to be the best return man because that's the only way that he will really retain his spot. But the Bills are rotating in a lot of players right now. If one of those guys that is a roster fixture stands out, then you might be looking at, hey, we might be able to secure an extra roster spot somewhere because we have our return guys and they're like Shakir and if Curtis Samuel gets into the rotation, for example,
right.
Or Ray Davis is a primary return man now.
Coleman.
If one of those guys can stand out returning the football, you look at that's how you can create roster space. I don't know about fullback right now. I don't know about Gilliam.
I think especially, too, because Gilliam's the only one. I mean, he's the only guy they have listed at fullback.
And also, if Gilliam has clearly lost a step, that's when you have that conversation.
Right.
And that's something that the Bills will know before a lot of people will.
Oh, absolutely. It is funny. He has been on the roster for a while. Since 2020. Undrafted, picked up by him, and he's been here since. He, weirdly, is a guy that we all know and probably shouldn't. You know, it's not like he's made like these huge pop
plays.
It
feels like he's been here forever, but he's only 27.
Yeah, he's only 27. I mean, like, he was an undrafted free agent out of 2020. It's not that long ago, but it's 5 years. But he kind of just, he does the dirty work well. I do wonder what their plans are with Hawes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a guy that, look, he was a late round pick for a reason. But the thing he does really well is block and hit people. And knowing how Brady likes to run the ball and they want to bring in that sixth offensive lineman, that extra blocker. I mean, that's where Alec Anderson obviously is coming, right? You do wonder if Hawes, you know, I look at it too, Derek. Dawson Knox, we're kind of getting to the end of that as well with Knox.
Correct.
You know,
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Contract there that is going to slowly become more and more of a problem.
Yep. And Kincaid is not the hands in the dirt, I'm going to hit you tight end. He's obviously a receiver. Like that's what he was drafted for. That's how he's been pitched since being here. I wonder if the Bills, again, we've talked about it, like GM's draft 3-4 years down the line. I wonder if their plan with Hawes is not necessarily to fill like even a Reggie Gilliam role, but literally just to be that second part of a tight end. And just, dude, you're here entirely just to hit people. And you're here to block while Kincaid gets open. And that's how it's going to be. And if you show any semblance of picking up that receiver aspect, then, and I, again, I wonder, they're thinking, great, maybe if Kincaid doesn't take that next step, we have our tight end of the future. If he ever develops that versatility that you kind of need at the tight end position. But he is much more of a wait-and-see kind of guy.
Yeah, and the other thing about this, though, is that Knox is still capable. But here's the other part about that with Hawes. Knox being out.
Mm-hmm.
Hawes is rotating in with the first teamers already. Mostly because there's no choice.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing him any fullback snaps. So, appreciate the call. I don't know if Gilliam is something to question.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Gilliam. 803-0550, though, if you want to join the conversation. A quick update from practice. It's coming from Alex Brasky. Dorian Williams sustained an apparent injury early during team drills, has not returned after exiting with a trainer. Something to monitor regarding the Bills linebacker and leading tackler from a season ago. Derek, I know Dorian Williams is absolutely one of those guys for you that you have looked to as sort of this, you know, potential Matt Milano replacement even as early as this year because, yeah, he led the Bills in tackles. He was very good for them in replacement of Milano, and we are kind of getting there, like I said with Knox, with Milano of, okay, do you have to start talking about the future? That's kind of when they picked Dorian Williams as well, was that eventual replacement of both Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. That's kind of how it felt with both TB and then into Dorian Williams the very next draft out of Tulane. That's how it's felt. But if he, you know, potentially picked up an apparent injury here, he would be a bit of a miss. But they do have a good linebacking room.
It's that they have some depth now. It is because of what Williams was able to do last year, jumping year one to year two. And effectively, he was forced into a starting role last year, but he did not look overwhelmed. And a lot of it was, can you read and recognize better? Because he has the athletic ability to go sideline to sideline. He's a fast-moving linebacker. He's a rangy player. Can you recognize and take the proper angles? That was the problem in the KC game.
Mm-hmm.
He and A.J. Klein struggled in that game.
Mightily.
I do suspect that if healthy, Dorian Williams will offer a solid piece of depth in case Matt Milano is a little bit on a snap count or they do need to spell him every now and then just to preserve his health. Williams is up to the task. And if that's the case, well, linebacker suddenly becomes something you can breathe easy about compared to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to a couple of years ago.
Now, I will say, though, talking with Sal yesterday, and I mean, there was excitement in his voice, too, talking about Matt Milano. And that's a player, the last few years, the Bills have almost had to learn to live without. You know, we got there with Trey White as well.
Right.
Just picking up injury after injury kind of in successive years, it led the Bills to, like, okay, we've got to figure out how to be without you. And eventually led to the release of Trey White. And, you know, eventually
the trade for Rasul Douglas.
Yep. You know, they had to learn how to live without him, and it has worked. And now he's back. But Matt Milano, it's sort of the same thing. He is a player to that certain extent because they have learned to live without him. Their leading tackler was his backup. It has led me to kind of forget a little bit about him. But if they get even close to the All-Pro Matt Milano from 22, plus the ascension of Terrell Bernard, that is such a strength for this team. That is such a strength of where they can go forward, especially if the D-line maybe takes a little bit of time to really get going, or just the depth is tested with Hoyt and Ogunjobi out for six games, or the cornerbacks and the young safety room takes a little bit of time to gel. That could be really, really huge for the Bills going forward, is having that talented linebacking room. And at this point now, Milano really kind of – the injuries are behind him, hopefully.
With practice going on, by the way, right now, and we see people – you know, reporting everything. I'm seeing a lot of Jackson Hawes in here, but not for the reasons that you'd want to suspect.
No.
Williams was covering Hawes on the play that he pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
And then A.J. Epinesa bonked Hawes after a play.
Oh, you guys can't do that. The pads aren't on yet. We can't be doing that. We cannot be doing that.
There was no scrum after it, though. Like, both players just walked away. And I'm going to guess that, like, Epinesa realized there was a mistake in his target, and they're just like, all right. Like,
tough. 803-0550, the number to call. We do also have an injury update from Jets camp.
Yes, we do, about Justin Fields.
This is from Kimberly Martin of ESPN. This is her tweet. Huge sigh of relief. Player stepped on Fields' toe. The Jets quarterback should be fine. We've all stubbed our toe. We know exactly how the feeling is. But that's why I said it with Sal, though. I know Jeremy said it too. It's cart season. It does not mean the same thing as it has years ago.
If you're dealing with a foot injury,
imagine a lineman stepping on your foot in cleats.
Yeah, it's gonna
hurt. Would hurt a lot.
And to be fair, you pull up anything, like if you're like, "Yeah, my toe hurts," correctly, trainer's gonna be like, "Let's go check it out. But get off the field. Come on, we're gonna go check it out."
No, why would we have you walk on it?
We're not Jacksonville. We're not animals.
Oh, your hand hurts? Yeah, do a handstand real quick.
Do you guys remember that, though? Like the Jacksonville Jaguars, it was, I think, a primetime game.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence hurts himself, and he has to walk to the locker room with trainers next to him. It is the most grueling thing I've ever seen.
And, yeah.
It's like, why?
Hey, your shoulder hurts? Here, carry this thing real quick.
We gotta test it. We gotta make sure.
We have to test it on our way to the trainer room. No, of course you're not going to walk on it. Like, it's good, though, that it's like that. But tell me, anyone that's played the game, from Little League to the highest level that you ever could have, somebody steps on your foot with a cleat, doesn't feel good.
Yep.
Not a good time. Everybody hates it.
803-0550, the number to call. CJ, we'll get to you first after this quick timeout. If you hang on, you're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.